the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. economy shrank at a whopping 32.9% annualized pace between April and June as the coronavirus slammed businesses and consumers, marking the nation's worst quarterly contraction ever. Separately, the Labor Department said Thursday morning that initial claims for jobless benefits rose to 1.43 million last week. And Thursday morning, Donald Trump claimed without evidence that the 2020 election, quote, will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent in history, adding, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote. In case you were wondering, the president does not have the authority to change the date of the election, which under the Constitution is set by Congress. News breaking right at press time that former presidential candidate and Donald Trump supporter Herman Cain has died from the coronavirus. He was diagnosed just 2 days after attending Trump's rally in Tulsa and hospitalized shortly after. More than 150,000 people in the United States have now died of COVID-19, and global cases have topped 15 million. The United States has the most cases with nearly 4.5 million, followed by Brazil with 2.5 and India 1.6 million cases. Australia and Japan recorded their highest single-day case numbers yet, and places like Italy, which were hit hard at the beginning of the pandemic, are extending emergency measures into the next few months. And here in Florida, we broke yet another single-day record on Wednesday with a reported 216 more deaths. South Carolina's death toll passed 1,500 this week, more than doubling over the past month. In Georgia, where the governor is fighting the mayor of Atlanta's mask mandate, hospitalizations have more than doubled since the beginning of the month. And Texas confirmed 313 additional deaths, pushing its total to over 6,100. Speaking of Texas, Congressman Louie Gohmert was supposed to ride with Donald Trump on Air Force One back to his home state on Wednesday, but his COVID screening at the White House came back positive. Gohmert has frequently refused to wear a mask covering on Capitol Hill. After his diagnosis, he claimed that he had worn one frequently in recent weeks and showed his brilliance when he speculated that he might have put, quote, some of the virus on the mask and breathed it in, which is not how doctors say COVID-19 is transmitted. On Wednesday evening, Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that masks are now mandatory in the House and in the office buildings of the Capitol complex. Meanwhile, millions of unemployed Americans received their final $600 unemployment payment from the federal government last week, and things are not looking great for a continuation of the benefit. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are nowhere near a deal on the next relief bill. So this Friday, 25 million people will stop receiving an extra $600 in weekly coronavirus relief in their unemployment benefits. Adding insult to injury, the federal moratorium on evictions expired last Friday, ending protections for nearly 12 million renters. And Saturday is the 1st of August, when rent is due for millions who won't be able to pay it. If Congress doesn't step in, these people could be evicted come September. Oregon's Governor Kate Brown announced on Wednesday that the Trump administration would start a phased withdrawal of federal agents who've clashed with anti-racism protesters in Portland beginning today. Brown tweeted that the agreement came after she spoke about the matter with the vice president. She said, quote, they have acted as an occupying force and brought violence. Starting tomorrow, all Customs and Border Protection and ICE officers will leave downtown Portland. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf said the agents would leave if there is a significant easing of the, quote, violent activity that had been directed at those people protecting the federal courthouse. He said the deal calls for a, quote, robust presence of Oregon State Police in downtown Portland. But shortly after announcing that officers would withdraw, the Justice Department said it would then send those agents to Cleveland, Detroit, and Milwaukee in what it described as a bid to fight violent crime. Detractors have dubbed the move as a stunt designed to help the Trump campaign push the notion of violent protests taking over our cities, something that is simply not true. Axios on Wednesday released a clip from an interview Jonathan Swan recorded with Trump, in which the reporter asked if Trump questioned Vladimir Putin on their recent phone call about the reports of bounties paid to Taliban fighters in Afghanistan for American troops killed.
It's been widely reported that the U.S. has intelligence indicating that Russia paid bounties or offered to pay bounties to Taliban fighters to kill American soldiers. You had a phone call with Vladimir Putin on July 23rd. Did you bring up this issue?
No, that was a phone call to discuss other things. And frankly, that's an issue that many people said was fake news.
Who said it was fake news?
I think a lot of people.
So Trump, again, chose to believe what many people say over his own intelligence agencies. He denied that the information came to his desk even after it had been confirmed that the intelligence was included in a presidential daily briefing that we know he doesn't read, but he lied about that too.
Do you read your recent brief?
I do. I read a lot. Really? You know, I read a lot. They like to say I don't read. I read a lot.
Your daily
intelligence brief? I comprehend extraordinarily well, probably better than anybody that you've interviewed in a long time.
And then on Wednesday, Trump announced that the U.S. would withdraw nearly 12,000 troops from Germany, a move with no apparent strategic purpose that will cost billions of dollars over the next few years to execute. The withdrawal has been criticized by both Democrats and Republicans and international allies. Most think the move will weaken the U.S. strategic position regarding Russia and undermine relations with Germany, NATO, and Europe. Republican Senator Mitt Romney even said the move was a, quote, gift to Russia. Trump tried to justify the decision by saying that Germany doesn't spend enough on defense. Oh, please. If you're like me, your stomach drops every time Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's name shows up in a news alert, and it happened again Wednesday night. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has undergone a non-surgical medical procedure at New York's Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center to revise a bile duct stent. The stent had originally been placed last year when Ginsburg was treated for a cancerous tumor on her pancreas. According to Ginsburg's doctor, this is a common procedure, was done to minimize the risk of future infection, and that the justice would be released from the hospital by the end of the week. And finally, Thursday is John Lewis's funeral in Atlanta. Barack Obama will deliver a eulogy. Bill Clinton and George Bush will attend. John Lewis wrote an op-ed for the New York Times that was to be published the day of his funeral, which has arrived. And the message he left us with, quote, "When historians pick up their pens to write the story of the 21st century, let them say that it was your generation who laid down the heavy burdens of hate at last, and that peace finally triumphed over violence, aggression, and war. So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide. Rest in power, Congressman. Thank you for all you've done." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.